This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. We're here every Friday all throughout the summer. Baseball's back. You can watch all the action at Chickie's and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. Speaking of baseball, joining us now from our Phillies broadcast here on 94 WIP, Kevin Stocker. Thanks for joining us, Stock.
Yeah, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Must be a little more fun to call Phillies games these last couple weeks than it was the couple weeks prior, right?
Oh, it's always fun when they're winning, of course. Winning is a lot more fun. But, yeah, I would say there's been a lot more action lately, so that's been a lot more fun for sure.
The one thing we talked to LA about is, like, what comes first, the energy or the winning? You know, sometimes you can look at a team and say they don't have any energy, but maybe it's because they're losing. This team seems like there's a lot of energy there. Which do you think came first?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think when you're winning, the energy comes naturally, right? So when you get out of the box, everybody's playing well, the energy comes along. I do think, though, if you're asking which comes first, man, I don't know a good question for that. I just think if you have enough guys in a slump, when you have a Bohm and a Marsh struggling, and then you get Harp struggling, you get enough of those guys, you do definitely feel that energy, and it can be tough to get up for games and get going. But I think success and winning always will bring the energy. I really don't know which comes first. I do know that when the team is slumping, though, you have to force yourself to have the energy. That's the only way I know how to get out of any sort of a slump. I learned that from Larry Boa back in the day. Look, if someone in the stands or another coach across the field is noticing that, like, it looks like you don't like the game, you're not having fun, if somebody else can see that, then you better believe your teammates can. So if things aren't going well, you got to force yourself to have that energy. And I think the guys have done a good job of kind of climbing back out of that aspect of the game.
I always wonder, Kevin, from a player's perspective, season is so long and you go through these little peaks and valleys where you have these slumps and then you're playing well. From your perspective, being in the clubhouse, what's that like trying to, I guess, keep everybody's morale up and not getting frustrated or getting too down on yourself? Like how do the players sort of go about doing that?
Well, it's all about the routine. I would think it's the same in football. I don't know much about it, but it's it's literally such a routine base. And that's one of the reasons that I retired. I got so sick of the same routine every day. But these guys, you know, you get up at the same time, you take the same bus, you come in, you do the same thing, so that by 7:05, 6:05, whatever the game time is, you are ready to roll and where you should be every time. I will say this, with an experienced team like these guys are veterans, it's way easier to stay out of the peaks and valleys.
Right.
I've been on young teams. I remember being on a couple of teams. We had some young guys, and it was like if the young guys struggled, their life was over. And you just, like, you're going to get sent out, and those are really extreme highs and peaks. So with a veteran team, it's easier to have a guy like a Kyle Schwarber who's been there, a guy like, you know, Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos. These guys can wrap their arm around you and say, hey, man, it's a long season. Let's stay out of it. Just stay even keel. But it all starts with the routine. Same thing every day, and that's how you do it.
Stock, one of the guys who has been on a bit of a tear here last 16 or 17 game has been Trey Turner. What are you kind of seeing from Trey offensively?
Well, I think Trey's been better as far as not chasing. Okay, that's a little bit. I also think he's willing to get a little deeper in the count. Now, he still swings early. He'll swing. He'll take his shots for sure. But it seems to me, and just even the other night, he hit the home run, and then the next at bat, he went the other way on a ground ball through the hole. I think he's starting to be okay with hitting a little deeper in the count, right? So last year, he was swinging, strike one, strike two, all the time. And that's really hard to hit with that kind of pressure. So I would say that's the biggest thing for Trey. And then just contact. You know, with Trey leg, with his leg, with Stott's leg, I put Rojas in that, Marsh as well. If those guys just strike out, then they're really taking, the other team is taking a huge part of the game away from them. That's what they have to do. So that's a big thing with Trey for me. I just think he's making better and more contact. I think the home runs will come. It kind of made me nervous the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a quote in one of the articles where after his home run, he said something about he feels good, he's putting the ball in play, and he'd like to pull the ball more in the air. And I kind of did a little jump. I'm like, please don't start trying to pull the ball. That'll do nothing but just be swing and miss. Well, then yesterday he got right back into his up the middle type of swing. So when he does that, he has a lot of success.
Well, so let me just, a second question about Trey and that exactly. He's hitting a lot of singles, and that's good, and you want him on the base paths, but you probably want a little more than that out of him eventually. So how does he get from what he's doing now and this sort of strategy? He's putting the ball in play, he's getting on base. How does he go from here to not hitting 25 home runs, but like,
right,
how does he get from, I guess, not 1 to 10, but go from 1 to 6.5?
No, I know what you're saying, right? So you have this guy who's hitting 25 home runs, and all of a sudden he has 2, or whatever, you have 3.
Right.
You know, is it worth losing all that power for what you're getting? I kind of think that's kind of where you're at, and I get it.
Yeah.
I would tell you that with Trey, the home runs, at least for me, they have to be, I want to say specific, almost reactionary. When he's trying to hit home runs is when he's chasing and striking out. His home runs to me and his power will come when he reacts to the fastball in, reacts to balls that are hanging. Whether or not he can get to the 25, I think he will. But for me, I think if he tries to hit the home runs, that's when we see Trey go the other direction or become very streaky. So, yeah, I think that's a valid question. Like, I think it's like where's the balance where you want him. But right now I'm okay with what he's doing. But there are a lot of soft singles, and I expect Trey will start to get more power. The one he hit the other night, I don't know how it didn't go out, but there were so many balls hit the left field that didn't go out. The ball was completely being knocked down. So I just think he's going to start rolling into some home runs.
So let's talk about Bryce. Statistically, from a hitting standpoint, this far into the season, it's the worst start Bryce has had. What are you seeing from him so far, and are you seeing any signs of him sort of coming out of the opening to the season slump that he's had?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Bryce for me, from my view from the press box, is the swing and everything about the swing to me looks good. I don't see anything mechanically. I mean, he's super aggressive. For the most part, he's swinging at pitches that are normal for him. He still takes some wild pitches on left, you know, sliders away from him. What's been amazing to me to see is the amount of misses that balls down the middle of the plate. He's just fouling them back. He's just missing them. And I don't know if that's from not tracking the ball an extra couple of inches. I know that seems silly, but I've always believed, and I learned this from Wade Boggs, the biggest difference between a poor hitter, a good hitter, and a great hitter, how long you can track the baseball into the strike zone. No one ever sees the ball actually leave the bat. Your eyes just aren't that quick. But Wade Boggs, for example, could track it a little bit longer than me, and he made better contact. And I just wonder if maybe Bryce is not tracking the ball as good as he has in the past. That is a learned skill that you can practice, and that might be something they're working on. The other thing with Bryce, and you guys have known him much longer than me, I just think Bryce puts so much pressure on himself in any situation that would be huge for the team. And if he doesn't come through, it's like the world ended. And I think at some point Bryce has to give himself a little bit of a break and let himself relax in those situations and kind of get into those grooves. So it could be a little bit pressure-oriented, but I'll be honest with you, the swing and everything mechanically moves us really good.
Kevin Stocker with us. So I keep looking down at Johan Rojas's stats, and I wait for him not to be hitting 300, and it's still there. When you're watching Rojas hit, are you seeing a guy who has improved, or are you seeing a guy who's maybe getting a little bit lucky?
Oh, I think he's improved. I think there's an improvement factor and a confidence factor. He's a big try guy. Like he has over the last year and a half, he's really tried to make some adjustments that Kevin Long has given him. I will tell you that he got called up from Double A and he wasn't ready. He just wasn't. But they didn't really have a choice at the time when they brought him up. And when I say not ready, I'm clearly talking about offensively. So they challenged him to get some specific changes in the swing. For example, they wanted him to have a shorter swing to the baseball. His swing was really long. That, for him, at his age, being so young, never being at this speed, it was impossible to make that adjustment so quickly. So, you know, he was up and down and was all over the place, couldn't bunt, still really can't bunt that great to me. I think he can be better. But all that time in winter ball this last year, all he did was work very specifically on this short swing. So that to me is an improvement. It's not luck. It's an improvement on his contact and his swing path. And I think that's why he's having some success. I know that's why he's having success. So, again, what I hope for him is that he stays with that. Every time he hits a home run or he hits a big home run, something like that, it always makes me a little nervous that he's going to go back to this long swing and he needs to stay where he's at. So I think so far I've been really pleased with what he's getting. I mean, remember, Dombrowski, I think it was last year, guys, he said out of spring training, if he just hits 240, we'll be happy. Well, that clearly wasn't the case, but I think he can hit with his speed. He can be more effective in that 250. I give him a big range, 250 to 300 range in there. As long as he can get some bunts down and contact.
Stock, we got Nola on the mound tonight. Last two starts have obviously been great. What have you kind of seen from him to get him back to where he's been the last couple of years?
A couple of things. The velocity is up. I know it doesn't seem like much, but when you go up a mile and a half, it's a huge difference on the secondary pitch. So he's throwing a little harder, which is great. And I think his changeup, for example, his last start, the changeup was so good on the outside corner to left hand. His command is so good. But he has to have this combination of command and some velo. The one thing about him, I'll probably put it in my scouting report now that we're talking about it, but he is a guy that kind of has to ride into the game, into the momentum. He'll start the first couple of innings trying to find what works for him. In the past, and even this year, if it takes him three innings, it can hurt him, right? He'll give up the home run if he can't find what's working. It would be nice to have him come out and be like, oh, this is what's working from the first inning. But that's not really him. He takes an inning or two to find what works, and then he just exploits you. But that's the beauty about Aaron. He goes, oh, last week it was the changeup. The week before that, it was that big knuckle curveball. And that part of that's JT, right, because they just follow along with JT. So I think he's much better when he lives at the bottom of the zone. I know Larry's popped you guys to your, you know, red, blue in the face about who needs to keep the ball down. I agree with that. But if he does come up with the fastball, it's got to be up out of the zone. Because if it's up, it's going to get launched. So I just think he's been better with the command with the curveball last week with the changeup.
Stock, we appreciate your time today. I also want to let you know, I know you're not doing it on purpose, but you're saying dirty stuff accidentally, and we're keeping track of it. We got a lot of that.
Okay,
and
I gotta go. I think now's the time. I got to
all right, all right. Well, I'm just letting you know we got our eye on you, man.
Yeah, you even gave us hanging balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
there
Stock,
he is.
There he is.
Out of pocket Stocker.
All right, guys. See you later.
Thanks. Okay. There he is, Kevin Stocker.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love how uncomfortable he gets.
He gets,
Yep.
He can't hang up the phone fast.
Like, yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go. Thanks, Les. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. What's your concern level with Bryce Harper right now and going forward? Not concerned, 59%. Starting to be concerned, 30%. Very concerned, 11%. 215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli, you're on WIP. What's up, Derek?
What's happening, folks?
What's up, Derek?
Can I say something to Jack real quick? Jack, why you don't go against Joe DeCamera in the competition, right? You're a former Division II athlete, right? You're 30 years old, and he's 48, right?
I know.
What would you get out of that?
Like, I know.
I'd rather see him and Spike go at it.
That is a closer competition.
Wow.
Or you should be challenging like somebody like John Ritchie.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, bro, let's not go that far.
Hold on.
What is he getting out of going against Joe DeCamera? And I like Joe DeCamera.
Yeah.
But he's not an athlete, bro. He don't have no letters.
Yeah, he's challenging my manhood, and I got two kids now, so like I gotta show them what a man looks like.
Listen, man, you pressing too hard, because if something happened to you, like if you pull a handy and you can't finish, bro.
He's never gonna live down. Yeah,
worse than hell, man. Yeah. So I would just let that one off. See Joe DeCamera. I like Joe DeCamera, but he's not an athlete.
Listen, and you're right. Jack has all the pressure on him. It's completely. Yeah. If he fails, he'll never hear the end of it. Joe DeCamera failing, that's something we're used to seeing.
Also, Derek,
morning show ratings, they do pretty good there.
Less than us.
Derek, I'm a little insulted on me and Joe DeCamera here.
It's closer, though.
I am physical condition.
Sports, though? What have you done with sports that you can come on here and say, like, I was the all, you know, whatever team?
Did you do anything?
So that's why I'm saying I feel like you and Joe would be a better matchup.
Well, I've run three marathons.
Yeah, there you go, Spike.
Well, the same way that you say that golf – it's not a sport. I don't think running, jogging in a marathon is much.
Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what, Derek. I'm 48. I have a replacement hip, and I will outrun you.
That's not hard, bro. I'm 50.
We're the same age. We're the same age. You go run.
It's not jogging.
It's not jogging.
It's just willpower.
It's not just willpower.
It's just willpower.
It's not just willpower.
Yeah, it's mostly willpower.
No, it's not. You can't will yourself into running 26 miles.
And you can't go out and play good golf.
I can't run 26 miles.
Yeah. I can't play chess, and that doesn't make it a sport.
It's not a diss, man. It's not a diss. I just think I was going
like to it.
See. Yeah.
It
sounds like, yeah. What have you done in the last 30 years?
I'm not here to diss.
All right.
I'm not here to diss.
Yeah, all right.
My question is for Ike, man. My question is for Ike, though.
Finally. Yes.
You're a former of being a former Eagle, right?
Yep.
And I want you to be the voice of the people, man, right? Uh-huh. So at 5:30, at least once a week, are you able to like switch up the track from Creed to some Stevie Wonder or Michael Jackson or something for us to sing along with?
I was wondering how long this question was gonna take to get asked. Quite frankly, we do have a democracy here on the show, and so it's a vote. And I was outvoted for Creed, but I'm enjoying it. I'm not. It's not over with yet. We still got about 2 months left of this.
Well, I usually try to mix in a good song at 2:30, 3:30.
Yeah, but well, hold on, Derek, calm down. Every day at 3 o'clock, we play a hip hop song. Every day at 4 o'clock, we play a hip hop song.
Yep.
Like every day at 5 o'clock, we play a hip hop song.
Yeah, that's true.
So like.
Yeah, but you're not singing it though.
You don't want me to sing. Well, hold on. I sing these songs. No, hold up. Hold up. Every time he plays "Return of the Mac," we're singing it.
Yeah.
Every time he plays Lionel Richie, we're singing it.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy, we're singing it.
How would it sound, Derek?
What about Deion Sanders' song?
How would it sound, Derek, if me and Jack said, if we had a song every day, you know, or Turn of the Mac, we all sang it, me and Jack were like, we want some songs for us. Like, that would sound ridiculous.
Our delegation.
Listen.
Yeah.
You would have the right, as you would say, the rights of Ricky Sanchez. Would have the rights to request.
I agree with that. I agree with that, Derek. Listen, put the pressure on him, Derek.
You was in the barbershop, man. You said you was in the barbershop, man. So come back to the barbershop and put a little Stevie Wonder on and let us sing along with you at 5:30, man. You can do it at 5:15 if you want and still do tea, but.
Yeah, but
you
we
do sing karaoke too, man.
All right,
you know what I'm saying, man?
You're allowed to sing Creed.
I'm not singing that in my car at 5:30.
No, why not? Why not? Too cool, too cool, Derek.
I can't do that, man. I can't do that.
Man, you're old. You're not cool. You can sing whatever songs you want. All right,
love it. I think if I went to the barbershop, I've never been a barbershop guy.
Yeah,
I'm a hair cutter.
Go get a haircut.
Yep.
Yes. A stylist, you go to see a stylist.
I would just get made fun of. I feel like
not barbershops.
Nice voice crack you hit there. By
that wasn't a crack. That wasn't a crack.
Am I hosting the show with seltzer?
It all depends on how you operate in the barbershop.
Yeah, well, you know me. Like, how do you think that would go? How do you think that would go?
I think you should go to the barbershop and talk about jail.
Find out. Yeah. Go there. And get, I'm gonna pick you up when I go to the barbershop the next time.
Me, you, Andy, and Deptford.
Yes. See you over there. Hey, listen, they want to talk to you about your Jalen opinions anyway.
Oh, awesome. Love talking about him in the public.
Well, and in my experience, the barbershop is always mixed in terms of opinions on everybody.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Fight about everything.
Yeah, you fight about everything.
Where the strongest opinions are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They don't care.
Derek from Paoli.
Yeah, everybody's an expert.
Derek from Paoli just ripping everybody.
Listen.
Running is hard, Derek.
Of course it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's not like super athletic. I mean, it's just.
Are you kidding me?
It's just running. I mean, it's
to do it well.
Well, of course, but you can't do golf's not a sport, and then do like, well, doing it well is really hard.
Well, running well is really hard. Not everything that is hard to do is a sport. I mean, running is more of a sport than golf is.
Yeah. But it's just running. Like, there's not skill involved.
Oh my god!
It's
just running.
But it is. It's not
you had to train for 3 months to run 1 mile.
Running fast is different. Running well, it's
an 8 minute mile is not fast. Wait a minute. The fastest guys in the world run 4 minutes.
I'm talking about like a sprinter. Sure, that's different.
Right.
Running long distance.
He's saying
you can eventually
just leisurely running. Yes,
dude. The guys that win marathons run 5 minute miles for 26 miles.
No, you're right. No, the guys that win the marathons, but how many of the other people Now, don't get me wrong. Running a marathon is...
It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Bro, 26 miles is a long damn way.
Dude, my...
I mean, Paul Pierce couldn't even do that yesterday. You see him walk. He walked 20 miles.
Oh, really?
He did it.
Oh, well, did he?
Yeah.
My father-in-law and brother.
He walked to the stadium. I mean, to the studio.
My father, brother-in-law did the Ironman and Lake Placid a couple years ago. That's a full marathon.
Yes.
100-mile bike race and a 2-mile swim in one day.
Oh, no, I ain't doing that.
Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother did a thing
I
like that.
I did after I did that.
My brother did a thing like that at Alcatraz. The swim was, swimming from Alcatraz or something.
Nuts.
Psychopath, yeah. All right.
Your brother swam from Alcatraz?
Yeah. My brother used to do ultra marathons, which are marathons more than 26.2.
Okay.
He did one. I think I told you guys about this. I went out to videotape it. He did one in San Francisco that is a 1-mile loop that everybody runs for 24 hours. And the person that wins is the person that ran around the loop the most times. He lasted
ridiculous.
Like 11 hours, and then couldn't walk the next day.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So coming up next,
that's a lot of running.
A huge travesty last week happened as Buzz was awarded the belt. We find out if Buzz holds on to the belt next, and we'll see if Ike has a truest update. As play ended an hour and a half ago. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. All the big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. We are just a couple of weeks away from the official kickoff to summer. That's right. Free toll Friday at the Farley Toll Plaza, where Pete will pay for your toll. Details at chickiesandpetes.com. Last year, I threatened to drive through the toll as many times as possible to charge Pete the money, and I'm doing it this year. You guys got the show for
the
hour or whatever while driving through. How many times do you think I get through? Three?
I don't know.
Four times?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would love to.
I'd say once.
Once?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before
Pete slits my tires so I can't do it anymore. I'm going to get you, Pete. I'm going to get you. 215-592-9494. We will get to awarding the belt, the WIP belt, in a moment. Joe in Sarasota, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
Hey, let me turn my speaker off. Hold on.
It's a great idea.
There it is.
It's a great idea.
Like it.
All right, guys. Hey, I got a couple questions, but anybody can answer. I went to the game last night. And it just seems like, and I know you guys are going to laugh, but I feel like Rojas gets a lot of blame for things, like they overblame him. Like the guy called before that always threw the ball to third one and shooting up. But when he came in last night, he brought energy.
Yep.
And I feel like Topper, and maybe I can really relate to this. Remember when the Bucks at Tony Dungy, and they brought a new coach in.
John Gruden.
And they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Do you feel like that possibly happened? Like, just to get him, like, Topper, see, he's so in his ways. He never wants to change. And, I mean, I know why Schwarber played left field last night, but didn't last year, did he get hurt out there?
Yeah, after three games, yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, so what's your issue with Topper last night? Do you think he should play Rojas like every day?
I didn't say that. I did not say he play every day, but he should be playing better, more than Marsh. But my point is this. I just think the kid's young. He's fast. I mean, yeah, he's still learning on the job, but I mean, what else is he getting out in the center field right now? He's not getting anything, really.
Well, Marsh had the big hit last night to get in the lead an extra inning. I mean, I'm not even a huge Marsh guy. I just... Yeah.
He's hit the ball well since he got back.
He is 5-for-10 since he's gotten off the IL. And, like, do you want to just give up on him when they're facing six straight righties?
I'm not saying giving up on him, but, I mean, if you're looking in the future, I mean, with the speed, and he is swinging the ball pretty well, that's just my opinion. But, anyway,
Here's what I would say, Joe. There's a chance, because Marsh is in his last year.
No.
Marsh is not in his last year.
He's got, like... 2 years after this?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was going to be gone after this year.
No.
I was going to say that Rojas could eventually play his way to being out there. I just don't know if he's ever going to be consistent enough that you would want to make him your everyday center fielder.
Yeah, he's playing a lot.
And like, by the way, he had some defensive issues a couple of times this year.
Marcia Rojas.
We know that.
Rojas.
Didn't he clean that up in the winter league? Didn't he win some award in the winter league?
Well, he's made four or five that I can remember. Yeah. Sort of like, how do you let that happen? Plays in center field. And by the way, like, he's playing a lot. I don't know if you don't want him to be an everyday player, and you don't, you're not saying he should be an everyday player. He plays a lot.
No.
He's been in there a lot.
But Jack jumps in, act like, oh, you want him to play every day. I didn't really say that.
What are you saying about him? Because he's playing a good bit. He's probably a platoon player right now. And yeah, he brings energy, but that same energy has him going for triples when we're down two in the ninth inning with two outs. Like, you know,
who else is bringing it? Nobody else is bringing it. Last night when Mark
They've won 9 of 11. They're all bringing energy.
I'm not okay. If you think that game was energized last night, if you didn't get energized to like the eighth and ninth inning when they started hitting the ball,
Bryson Stott hit a 3-run homer.
Who? Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's when it happened. And then Marsh got his double, and you could see Marsh. He brought the energy. You could see the frustration after he got his double in second base. It became a lot. It was just frustrating, and then he finally got his hit. But look, I'm going to end it like this. I'm going to ask you a good question.
Okay.
What happens if the Rays make the playoffs this year? Could you imagine that at that stadium?
It would be amazing.
Yeah, hopefully they would play somewhere else.
Yeah, what do you think? They can't have playoff games in there.
No, I don't. Hopefully they would be the wild card team on the road.
Hopefully they'd be the wild card team on the road.
You know?
We'd have to go to a game down there.
It'd be very Rays to go on a run with that. You know, because in 2020.
Nobody there.
That's the only time they made the World Series. The Rays have been one of the best teams in the AL for a good stretch here. The only year they made the World Series was 2020 when there's no one in the stands.
They've always been an annoying
team. What do you mean the only year they made the World Series?
Well, in the last couple of years. Because they've been really good for like 8 years.
Yeah.
But they've never broken through. That was the only year they did, and there was no fans in the stands. I didn't get what he was saying.
No, I didn't understand.
Rojas brings energy sometimes. He's playing good baseball. He's playing more than Marsh, but I don't think you can just give up on Marsh.
I thought he was making the case to say he should play every day.
But then as soon as we asked him about it, he said no.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's playing a lot. I don't know.
I'm trying to see where you're coming from, Joe.
So every Friday at 4:30, we decide who has the belt here at WIP. And the belt is the WIP employee who brought it the most that week. It can be the same person if somebody doesn't take the belt away from them.
Would love for it to be the same person.
Currently, Buzz has the belt for just going right in on Jack Fritz on the top five, essentially calling him dumb, lazy.
Well, not essentially.
Yes.
Just said it.
Just said he was dumb and lazy.
Yeah.
And Buzz earned it. The question is, has Buzz earned keeping the belt?
There could only be one. The boss. The chief. The top of the mountain, the WIP Afternoon Show presents The Belt.
Sorry, Derek. Singing that one, too. All right. Who has the belt? Does Buzz keep the belt? This week, the belt changes hands. And the person or people who hold the belt is the WIP Afternoon Show. All three of us hold the belt.
All right.
Yes.
It's about time.
That was unexpected.
Well, here's what the committee looked at. Number one. Excellent Doug Peterson interview on Monday on BG Day.
Yep.
Okay.
Number two, excellent Nick Sirianni interview on BG Day. Okay. Number three, excellent Chris Long interview on BG Day.
Okay.
Number four, at the Truist Championship yesterday, we were so popular. Everybody wanted to talk to us around all these famous golfers.
Exactly. They saw Rory, said, "Who's that?" They saw us and said, "Is that Ike Reese?
Are they going to sing Creed?" That's what they said.
They doubted us. They played a game of chicken with us.
The question is, who's swinging the biggest ones right now at WIP? It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Come take the belt from us.
And it ain't close.
It ain't close.
You two are really excited, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's that Obama meme where he's putting the Purple Heart on himself. Have you seen where they put?
I've never seen that one.
Oh, that's what we're doing right now. We're basically just patting ourselves.
Come get it. Come get it.
Yeah. I mean, look, also, not to do this.
Yep.
Have to do it. Biggest ratings at the station right now. I mean, if you're not competing amongst ourselves.
Yeah. Right. You know, we a healthy competition.
The Braves rotation from the 90s. Yeah. You know, they would try to outdo one another.
Yep.
Currently happening at WIP.
Morning show Steve Avery. What can you say?
Sure.
Wow.
Sure. Sure.
Somebody's got to be Glavin.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
That was awesome.
215-592-9494. Jay in Philly, you're on WIP.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
Yo. So, hey, man, I was just thinking, man, it's almost a quarter of the sixth season for the Phillies, and Bryce is struggling the way he's struggling, and, like, nobody's, like, pulling it, you know. My quarterback last year, quarter of the season, not that y'all said Benji, but it was almost like bench the man. What is going on? Why are you not coming at Bryce the same way when he's batting 240, okay, a quarter of the season? And last thing, hey, are we going to do a show about is Mike an athlete because he does marathons and or what sports aren't really sports? They do show bowling on ESPN.
And yeah. Bass fishing sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could do a whole show on that. I think Ike made the point about why people aren't more frustrated with Bryce. I think he's right. I think it's two-pronged. One, coming at him, as you said. One, he has produced in his time that he's been here, and he is like, no one is accusing him or even guessing that he is not trying at his best. And I think the second thing is that the team is succeeding now. And as long as the team is winning, I think it gets now. You could say, and that's for sure. I think also to baseball is a little bit tougher. You can have a bad 5 weeks and still end up with a really good season in baseball.
And let's face it, Jalen plays a more impactful position,
mm-hmm. Right?
So, you know, the thing about baseball and Bryce. As long as he's not out there kicking the ball around at first base, you know, he goes through a hitting slump, and it's sort of understandable that baseball players are going to go through a hitting slump once or twice throughout the course of a season. You're talking about 600 plate appearances. He's going to have a stretch or two in there where he doesn't hit the ball well. Now, I'm not telling you that a quarterback shouldn't be afforded the same sort of rope. It's just that we don't view football how we view baseball. We put so much intensity into every football game. We treat every game like it's the game to go to the Super Bowl just about. And in baseball, we just don't do that.
Yeah, and I would, and this goes to your first point there. In basketball, the best player can get the ball every time down the court. Bryce can't. Like, he can't.
And if he only gets four opportunities, sometimes five.
Yeah, so if they could give it to him, and I think truly the biggest thing is that they're winning now. And if the Phillies were 500 now and Bryce was hitting 240, it would be a lot louder, I think, on Bryce, on that he has to do something. Even if it wouldn't be fair, I think people would be there with the team.
You know what this is, though, Jim? This is really, and it didn't dawn on me until Spike started talking right there, this is a reverse question. This isn't a Bryce question. This is a Jalen question.
Always.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, this isn't really a Bryce question. This is a Jalen question. And I like it. I like the way you came with that. I like that.
Well, look, y'all did ask who has done more, which is a crazy question because
that's
one
true.
Came as a second-round rookie who didn't even start his first year, having Carson Wentz as the guy to try to train him. And the other was going into his eighth year as a pro when he got here. So that to me was like, what are we even talking about? You know, like one's an 8-year veteran who was an all-star, the other was a second-round pick. So to ask,
it doesn't. But can I say it doesn't matter if he's a second-round pick anymore. That's over. He's making $50 million a year.
When you look at overall,
because he only has 4 years. So his first year, he was a second round rookie behind Carson Wentz. So that's why it does. Like that's yes, it does.
I knew it wasn't Jalen.
No, it doesn't anymore though.
Yeah, Spike said that's over.
Like, I don't care anymore. Nobody cares that Russell Wilson was a second-round pick anymore.
Right.
Nobody cared that, like, it's over. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He's a starting quarterback.
No. That's not the major point. The point is, though, for a guy to only have been here basically half the time as the other guy, and when the other guy came here, he was established as the team star. The other one was a guy who you didn't even think was going to be on the field and barely was on the field.
Well, not me. Not me.
I know I didn't.
Yeah, not me.
You didn't want him on the field.
Well, sure, but I mean, like, that's not me. I guess my point, Jay, is, like, I've criticized Bryce plenty, and I will criticize Jalen plenty, and I'll criticize Embiid plenty, and whatever star isn't playing well enough.
Yeah.
We will talk about it.
Well, that's the only thing, yeah, Joe, when it comes to Spike, I don't think he's being biased about who he's going to criticize. There's a thing that he enjoys that.
I love criticizing.
Embiid is like Bigfoot. I've only heard of this man. Who is this man?
Well, he's got more MVPs than Jalen does.
Uh-oh.
215.
What?
Well, does he or does he not? I mean, one guy.
Regular season.
Well, here's the thing, Jay. One guy, if he retires right now, is a Hall of Famer, and one guy isn't.
Hey, look. I love Embiid, but that MVP certainly could have went to another player. Easily.
Right, like, and the 2 years before where he didn't win MVP, he was runner up. He could have won it those 2 years too.
He could have, but guess what? It wasn't like people were really protesting the fact that Jokic won. So what are we talking about? But regular season awards, if that's what it's about. For your guy, you know, my guy will keep winning Super Bowls.
No. Wait a minute. I thought you liked Embiid. See, this is the point. This is why you're such a fraud, Jay. You're a fraud because you just said you liked Embiid and you don't. Like, you just want to pound your chest about second round Jalen, and that's fine.
I'm talking about Bryce and Jalen. I love Embiid. The Sixers organization is horrible, and that was part of the reason why.
Yeah, but you just mocked Embiid. That's the point.
I don't understand your point about Bryce and Embiid. I actually don't.
Both of them have one regular season MVP, right?
No. Jalen's never won regular season MVP.
No. Bryce.
He's saying Bryce and Embiid.
And Embiid. Bryce and Embiid both have one regular season MVP, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you want to throw about an MVP? Who cares about a regular season MVP?
But it does show that they're great players, though. It shows that they're great players, right?
Yeah.
No, it shows they had a great season.
But you have to be great players to win an MVP.
That goes to my point that a guy is a quarter into
Who's a great player that's won that hasn't won an MVP?
Matt Ryan.
He's great that year.
That's what I just said. A great season.
Shut up, Ike. In real sports like baseball and basketball, you'd be a great player.
I'm with you.
You know what that's about, Spike?
That is saying that if Jalen happens to have a bad game or whatever, he should get the same grace that Bryce is.
And he probably will next year for most people.
Okay, I'm glad you said that.
He probably will.
Yeah, it's just Jay's not talking to me. That's the way I take it. Is like,
will you criticize Jalen less next year, considering what he has accomplished?
Sure.
Does he not get some grace?
Yes, he has. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like moving. Yeah. It's one thing before he actually does something, but now that he has done it,
yeah,
most people will be like. That's like when Jack throws out there the prove it year, people flipped out.
Well, what do you mean, prove it year?
Again, it's prove it from a different – like, he's obviously proved he could win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Prove it year from an elite quarterback standpoint.
Can he do it back-to-back?
He doesn't need to win a Super Bowl to be a prove it year.
No.
He's already an elite quarterback.
Sure. Without making the Pro Bowl.
Well, he's made the Pro Bowl twice.
Not last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
He won the Super Bowl last year.
I know.
Who cares about the Pro Bowl?
Well, usually if you're on the best team in the league, the quarterback should be able to make the Pro Bowl.
I would agree. It was unusual for him not to make the Pro Bowl last year as the quarterback.
Very.
I would agree with that.
And by the way.
I would agree with that.
By the way, final thing to Jay's point.
Yes.
We're doing a whole show about Bryce Harper not playing well.
Yes. Ask him the question.
So to call up and say, why do you guys not criticize Bryce Harper? By the way, the last two Fridays.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Bryce Harper?
Might be a Friday tradition.
You know, one leadership, one play. So, you know, I don't know.
I'll tell you.
What?
I'm just saying, it's I crack up because I know I'm on the other side of this thing.
Oh, yeah. You're sitting pretty right now.
With Jalen.
You are sitting pretty.
So, yeah. It's a good investment by you.
They're just so sensitive. Oh, my gosh. He's fine.
It's true.
He's fine.
Well, he deserves the respect of a Super Bowl MVP.
He's the champion. I know. He's fine.
He's going to win that BET award.
Yeah. Well, Saquon's going to be like, another thing taken from me?
Yep. So,
that's a good question. I don't know who's going to win that award.
So, Jack, what is coming up in the top five of five?
All right.
Top five quarterbacks you like better than Jalen?
How much time? No. The top five botched calls in sports history.
Oh,
is it in sports history or sports history since you've been alive?
Well, mine. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say,
only the ones he knows.
Yeah. Because we had a big one last night. A big one last night.
Wrong, man.
That we have to get to. We have to get to it. I'm sorry. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it.
First the comment at spring training and now this.
Now this.
Again, didn't want to do it, but I said, if I'm being true to myself, I have to do it.
Okay.
I have to do it.
So the five.
And I'm bringing you all down with me.
So it is the five biggest botch calls. Your favorite top five.
Includes a former coworker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll have to hear it in the top five of five.
Okay, all right. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.